technical stuff out
Thank
of the way.
Thank you for listening to this
Thank
lesson.
Thank you for listening
we
to this lesson.
This lesson. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and given you practical tools,
and given you practical tools
you can use to divine.
Okay. So how's everybody? Good. All right. So we've been looking at these different powers each week. You can see today we're talking about the power to live from spirit. Okay. And over the last couple of weeks, we talked about, you know, living from faith, living from wisdom, living from strength, living from love. And each of these spiritual qualities has an impact on the nature and quality of the power of the words that we speak. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. So speaking words that are faith-filled have a regenerating impact on the body. Does everybody catch that? And speaking words that are fear-filled, of course, have a degenerating effect on the body. Not only in the body, but on your relationships and everything that's happening in your life. So the words that we speak have a lot of power in them, right? And it's actually, if you talk about the 12 powers, that power center is right there in the throat, right? So our words are a clear giveaway of whether or not we are feeling spiritually connected to the divine gifts we've been given, or whether or not we are feeling spiritually disconnected and therefore powerless, okay? You can almost hear it when you're talking to somebody. You can hear that they feel good about themselves, or you can see that they don't feel so good about themselves. So words have a lot of impact. And moment by moment, we're either filled with spirit or we are filled with ego, all right? And consequently, situation by situation, we're either expressing words that are spirit-filled or words that are ego-filled, spirit-charged, or ego-charged, spiritually empowering, or words that cheapen, degrade, or demoralize, or discourage. So there's a whole lot of power in that process of the way we speak. Right? Now, if you look at James 3, 5 through 12, those who are taking notes, it says the tongue is a small member in our body, yet it boasts great exploits. With it, we can bless the Lord our God, and with that same tongue, we can curse those who are in our lives. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursing. Our brothers and sisters, this ought not the way it should be. So is it possible that we do not realize a lot of times that when we speak words that are filled with anger and fear and irritation, that is because in reality we are angry and fearful and irritated with something or someone that's going on in our lives, and we're merely just projecting that out onto another. You know, when you say words that are just uplifting and powerful, it's because you feel what? Uplifting and powerful. And so when you speak words that are hurtful, it has to be coming from a source of hurt within yourself. And I think that life constantly, you know, presents us with challenges in an effort to help us wake up and become aware of the suppressed fears and irritations we have within ourselves. In other words, I think there's a lot of dynamics sometimes going on within us, and we don't even realize it's going on in us, and it just ends up coming out. So to further investigate this theory, we're going to look at a parable, John 6, 1, which you're familiar with. You're very familiar with this parable. We're going to look at how the power of thought and words impacts our lives. So it says, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for those people to eat?" Now, he said this to test Philip, for he himself, Jesus, knew how he was going to handle it. Okay? So Jesus was saying to Philip, there's a problem. How do you think we should handle it? This is significant because quite often when life presents us with a challenge, there's a small voice inside of us that says, what do you want to do about it? Okay? Now, there's two ways of answering that question. One is to answer according to thy will. The other is to answer according to my will. See, one, you're open to spirit. The other one, you're kind of pushing spirit out and just going with your own ego. Now, if you're answering according to thy will, we're choosing to remain open and receptive to the inner spiritual guidance that we can receive. We're choosing to look beyond the appearance, the person, the situation, and look to the Christ within, asking the divine presence within us to reveal to us what needs to be revealed and to heal in us what needs to be healed so that we can see the situation differently. You get what I'm saying? Okay? So Philip was standing right in front of the presence of the Christ. Remember, all of this is symbolic. Okay? So yes, Jesus lived, but in the Bible, we have to understand that Philip standing in front of Jesus is like us standing in front of the Christ consciousness. So he was standing right in front of, Philip was standing right in the presence of Jesus, and he responded with, "Where are we to buy enough bread for all these people to eat? With 6 months' wages, we could not buy enough bread to feed all these people." So Jesus gave him a problem, and right away, what did Philip do? He went into complaining, and no, we don't know how we can do this, okay? So you could hear the fear, the worry, the skepticism in Philip's response. However, even though Philip was skeptical and wanted Jesus to just dismiss the people so the problem would go away, isn't that how he wanted? God could just make this go away, all right? He was at least willing to listen and follow Jesus' instructions. And so it must be with each one of us. Even though we say to ourselves, even Jesus said, "What, Lord, take this cup from me." Okay? And we say that quite a bit, don't we? Certain things come up, "Lord, please take this cup from me." But Philip stood in front. He was willing to listen what Jesus, you know, had to say. So even so, sometimes we get stuck and we want to believe about a people or a person in our lives. If we're willing to just listen to that inner voice, that inner guidance, we can end up getting some guidance that would create a situation that could be miraculous. Typically, we can't think of the miraculous when we're in a situation that's disturbing us. Does that make sense? But we want to get into a consciousness where we can be open to the divine presence within us that can give us that guidance. And so one of the disciples, Andrew, said to Jesus, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." But he says, "What are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And so they sat down, and it was about 5,000. Now, you heard me say before that it's really, a scholar says probably around 15,000, because in those days they didn't count women and children. They only counted men. Okay, so probably 15,000 people. Okay, so Andrew was at least willing to see the possibility, even though he too was skeptical. You could hear the skepticism when he said, "Well, what are these, you know, these few things we have? How are they going to take care of all these people?" Right? So Philip had his eye on the massive appearance of the problem, and Andrew had his eye on the limited resources. Has anybody ever been in that situation? Okay. And have you ever had a time in your life when you thought that, you know, "I got to take care of this, or this has to happen," but it looks so overwhelming. Pam and I just saw a movie we can't remember the name of. It's a true story about a boy who drowned. If anybody saw Drowned, he drowned and he was dead longer than the time that you can recover. I got to think of the name of that movie. Yeah, you know. But what happened was all the people in the town prayed, and a miracle happened, and it's a true story. So in that case, these folks, they, for them, the fact that the doctor who was a scholar at this drowning said it's impossible, they chose not to see the impossible. They chose to see what was possible. So that's sort of the same idea. So the key here is, you know, how do I get to a place where I stop saying that the need is too great? Okay, because we know with God, all things are possible. But what we're learning from this story is that if you're willing to follow your inner guidance, you may be amazed at what is truly possible when you work in partnership with God. So the key here is, remember, don't try not to get into a thing of, "No, my will." We never say "my will," but we have this mindset of how we think we should go about it, okay? And when you get stuck in that mindset, then, you know, Spirit doesn't have a chance to give you, you know, give you something that you might help you work it better. So Jesus said, the scripture says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks for that which looked like not enough, you follow me? He gave thanks for that which looked like wasn't enough. Then he distributed them, had the disciples distribute all of them out to everybody who was seated. So also the bread and the fish, as much as they wanted. You get it? He didn't say, well, man, we only got five loaves and two fishes. You can only have a crumb. It was as much as they wanted, okay? And what is really important to take note of in this last part is that not only did Jesus expand the limited resources to meet the needs of many, but he did so until they were satisfied. And this is the advantage of learning how to work with your inner Christ to activate your spiritual center, all right? And the spiritual center sees beyond that which you're looking at. Now, when we're not in touch with our indwelling spiritual power, we speak words that lack true power and conviction even when we pray. Okay? And these weak, unbelieving words send a message of weakness and fear and disbelief from our throat. Listen carefully. These weak words send a message from our throat down our spinal column and out in our nervous system to every part of our body. You know the vibration in the throat is a powerful mechanism, right? Especially those who sing know how powerful that mechanism is. So what is happening is that mechanism, right? And when you're sending out these weak words, well, that vibration of weakness is going down your spine. Your nervous system is connected to every part of your body, so every cell takes on that feeling of weakness. Just from hearing that, I should stop now and we just think about that for the next. Okay? So thoughts of disbelief and fear and anguish and condemnation are not just something that we are experiencing in our head. By way of our nervous system, we experience them in every cell of our body. And that is why it is so difficult to shake those negative thoughts and feelings because that you're experiencing. You know, you say, well, all right, I was told that I can't think this way. But by the time you're trying to stop yourself, you've already distributed that feeling. All right? So I repeat once again, you have allowed the negative thoughts to become established in your mind by way of your nervous system that was transferred to every cell in your body, okay? So knowing what we know now, you know, we have to ask ourselves, how much do I love myself? All right? So it's not about, you know, well, I said it because of what he or she did or that or whatever. Well, it has nothing to do with that. You know, you may tell them off or do whatever it is you did externally, but meanwhile, your nervous system is at work. So the question becomes, even if somebody outside of you or something outside of you upsets you, you got to ask yourself, but how much do I love myself? Okay? So because knowing what we know now, we also begin to understand, and I don't even have to ask this question, some old negative stuff we've been holding on to that's still vibrating through our system. Okay? So it takes time to think about that process. That's why so often we say, pray the prayer, have the Christ in you reveal to you what needs to be revealed and heal in you that which needs to be healed and ask the Christ to heal you deeply. Okay? So to change unwanted circumstances in our life, it is imperative that we do the prayer work needed to establish a connection with our indwelling spiritual power center. Okay? And notice I said the prayer work. Why? Because by doing so, you will find that you will not only meet the needs that you are trying to meet. You know, if you say, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about this is all the money I have or this is, you know, my health or, you know, it's a big thing among those of us who are getting older to talk about our ailments. Remember, I told you years ago when I used to do hair and I was in the barbershop, in the salon, I hear people talking about Uncle Arthur. You know, Uncle Arthur, you know, arthritis. You know, we've familized the whole thing of the stuff I'm going through, you know, right? It's sort of like, you know, we had to get our heads out of that mode. Right? And just always just think about health and joy and you know, that we're experiencing in our body. But in Luke 6:38, it says, you know, when you really use your power center to say powerful things about yourself and the people in your life, he said, the results you'll get back will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, so you want to use that power center to activate that God energy in your life. And the evidence of this was shown when Jesus told the disciples, gather up the fragments of food left over so that nothing may be lost. Now, so they gathered up all the food that was left over, and it filled 12 baskets. Now, you know, and I'm not trying to get into all the metaphysics of it, but, you know, that's a significant number, all right? Filled 12 baskets. Now, Jesus wanted his disciples to go through the physical activity of collecting up that food to see what was left over so they could appreciate what happens when you work in partnership with the Christ, okay? And so when he said, so nothing may be lost, he was not referring to the food. He was referring to the lessons that he wanted the disciples to learn, okay? And Jesus wanted to make sure the disciples understood fully what had happened. And it, remember, as we're reading Scripture, as he wanted the disciples to understand what happened, he also wants us to understand what happened. And Jesus demonstrated that when you're faced with a problem in your life, do not whine, complain, commiserate. He simply said, have the people sit down. Metaphysically, people represent all the thoughts in our head, okay? And they represent the thoughts in our minds, and Jesus instructed us to command our anxious, fearful thoughts to just sit down, be quiet, be still. Okay? Okay? And Jesus understood that in order for us to, you know, use words of power when speaking to a situation or to a person, to yourself, and especially to God in prayer, you must have an inner demeanor that demonstrates mastery and dominion over yourself and the thoughts of your mind. All right? Don't go to God whining. Because you got to remember, there's not a person listening. There's a divine energy that's listening. Yeah. And so if you're whining, that energy will come back to you as whining. You get it? So you want to always come to Spirit with some power in your voice. However, our real work is to do the prayer work to develop a prayer consciousness, which is only the only true source of power. Now, let's say that again. Our true power comes from being in and maintaining a prayer consciousness, meaning when things are great, we are in prayer, and when things are not great, we are in prayer. It's sort of like that thing about the customer is always right. Rule number one. Rule number two, if the customer's not right, refer back to rule number one. The customer is always right. So the same idea. No matter what's going on, you always want to be in a prayer consciousness. Okay. So Jesus knew that through prayer, he could invoke the power of God. He could invoke it to enter into what appeared to be limited and break the boundaries of the limitation so that it could expand to become unlimited. So this is real quick. The two fishes represent two divine ideas. And notice the last 2 weeks we talk about disciples that were called together. Okay, so these two divine ideas, masculine and feminine ideas, the five loaves represent the five senses. When you take divine ideas that work together and insert them into this five sensory thinking, that's what causes it to expand. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's why, you know, you want to hold on to ideas in mind, spiritual ideas in mind, that you can always use to insert into when your mind is saying, looks at the world and says, but this is what's happening. And when you can insert those ideas, you can break those bonds and cause something more miraculous to happen. And what we need to understand is that here is that God potential did not enter into the loaves and fishes, because God potential was already in the loaves and fishes. However, where the thinking of the disciples kept God potential trapped within the resources of the loaves and fish, Jesus' prayer consciousness released the divine potential and expanded the resources to more than that was needed. So if you say, I only have $10, then what you have done, this God potential is in that $10, has now been locked into remaining as $10. Does that make sense? That's why I tell you, one of my mentors from years ago said, if you only have $10, go out on the street, find somebody, just give it to them. Now you let it go. Does that make you hear? Okay. So that's the key. We want to learn how do I, in this situation, in my body, if there's something going on, how do I release the God potential to heal that? All right, as opposed to locking myself into the mindset of that which is happening, is learn how to open myself up to the God potential that can come in and do the healing. So the secret to releasing God potential within your perceived limited resources is to bless what you have. That's why we do the prayer, prayer for our right spiritual home. We're not saying that we're not in our right spiritual home right now. Okay? Because look at all of us sitting here, comfortable, beautiful light. It's wonderful, isn't it? Okay? Yeah, you know, something else may come along the line, but we are blessing what we have right now. So you want to bless what you have. To bless means to release all thoughts of limitation and allow the full measure of God potential to spring forth in your body, in your relationships, in your job, in your finances, in your life, in all your affairs. Blessings will these abundance that will come, you'll get an abundance coming to you that is greater than your wildest imagination. All right? And normally what we'll say is, if I could only get enough too. You know? Or even if you're not feeling well, we take an aspirin or something. Oh, it only could take a headache away from a minute. Yes, and that's not a bad thing. What I'm saying is you have to understand that the materia medica is only designed to help you to come to a point where you can become still and allow spirit to do its work. You feel me? So if you're hurting real bad, sometimes you're hurting so bad you just can't get into that mindset. So materia medica says, okay, well, this will help to calm you down. All right? But once you get into that space, then you're where you can be open and receptive to God really working in your body or your life or your affairs or whatever it might be. Okay? So from now on, when you speak, or ask yourself this question. The words I just spoke, did they bless or did they curse this situation, this person, this resource, this body? Did they bless or did they curse? And in all things, seek only to speak powerful words that bless. In the revealing word, it says, to bless is to invoke good upon something or someone. To bless is to call forth the action of God. It is to confer God's good upon something or someone. So you always want to be blessing. Right in the moment somebody does something to you, say, well, God bless you. What do you mean God bless you? I just laid you out. I mean, you know, so it's, but that's your mindset. You're always in that particular mindset. So with our words, we can lift ourselves up to a high place in consciousness, even in the most challenging circumstances. But when you find yourself struggling to keep the high watch, this is when you want to connect to the power that comes from being in prayer. Let me just start that all over, because I want you to hear this. When you find those times, because we hear this so often, people say, where you been? Well, you know, stuff has been going on in my life, and I've just been kind of down, and I just didn't think I should be here. Okay. When you find yourself not being able to keep the high watch for yourself, you want to be in the midst of your prayer church family. Right? That's where you want to be. Okay? And we want to come here because we know how to speak words of blessing and to empower each other and heal each other. Okay? And when we are in, we as people of spirit consciously choose to come together for the purpose of blessing each other, and we'll weave our words into fabric that binds us together in a prayerful family. With powerful words of blessing for each other, we can create a fabric that is resilient, yielding, and able to catch those of us who are falling and gently help us bounce back on our feet. So it's not just you coming among a group of wonderful people, but this group of wonderful people have weaved a fabric of love and blessing. You get what I'm saying? And so just by being in that space, and resilience is this spiritual quality you give yourself when you dedicate yourself to the prayerful life. When you dedicate yourself to the prayerful life, you become resilient. I usually do my prayer meditation very early in the morning. And in the mornings I wake up and I'm going, I'm not getting up. It's cold. We turn our heat off in the night. And that room gets cold. I'm like, I'm not getting up. And this is battle going on in my head with spirit. No, you need to get up. It's time. No, I'm not, right? And then finally, I'm laying there, and I just, okay. You're getting on my nerves. I better get up and do my prayer, right? But you want that. You said you want to be in a space where you got this connection where Spirit is saying, it's time to do your prayer. Okay? And so, again, the word resilient means the ability to recover quickly from illness and so forth. So with the knowledge of the power located in our throat, with the ability to resonate our words through every cell in our body, we now know how to bless ourselves and bless each other. We now know how to do that, right? So when you walk out of here today, you know how to give a blessing. I was telling my students, there's a difference between the students I get during the day and the students you have at night. Students during the day, they're coming, they're like, we all talk about it, it's like, how was class? Well, I was good, but the students, they were asleep. I don't know what their deal was, right? Okay. But the students at night, like let's say if it's a salesmanship class, they have to learn this thing I'm teaching right now to do it tomorrow when they go to work. You see, so it's a whole different mindset. So I want you to be like the students at night, right? You got to learn this right now. So when we step out this door or we start talking to each other, you understand the only words I can speak are words that will bless. Okay, Pam and I were walking, doing our walk on the other morning, and just as clear as could be, this thing came into my head. It was Valentine's Day. It said, send a Valentine's message to everybody in the department. Now, in the college, they don't talk love and stuff like that. But I did. I went, and I created the message, but I wrote this message, and I sent it out. And the immediate responses coming back was, oh, Millage, thank you. That was so wonderful. Wow, we really need, you know what I'm saying? And so people out there, we want to be loved. We want to be blessed by each other. So that's our job, is to do that blessing. And we now know, we now know how to weave a resilient fabric in our church home, our personal home, our personal life, our job, our work, wherever you go, you now know how to weave a nice, wonderful, loving, resilient fabric of love. And so always think about that. What I just said, did I bless or did I curse? But you want to get to a point where you know that every word you say is a blessing. Okay? So I'm going to end with this affirmation. It's from Valentine's Day, February 14th, Science of Mind magazine. I love my life. Say it with me. I love my life. I move through my day with a sense of connection and joy. Say that with me. I move through my day with a sense of connection and joy. I express the love within me in beautiful and eloquent ways. I express the love within me in beautiful and eloquent ways. My words, my choices, my actions. Say that. My words, my choices, my actions are born from the love of the Christ within me.
Are born from the love of the Christ within me.
Amen.